Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the old trees and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest, and I've felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not only is this all I've heard, frankly, this is about all I could endure.
And if your marriage is something that is keeping you from being your most authentic and whole self.
That was it. This is Wretched Radio. That was a Methodist preacher. Now, when I use the word Methodist, I don't actually mean a Methodist. And when I use the word preacher, I don't mean preacher, because this fellow clearly isn't qualified for either adjective. This YouTube clip, it's been making its way around. I thought, here we go, another Methodist saying something bonkers. But then I listened to what you just heard and I went, oh, this might be instructive. When the world creeps into the church, typically we think, well, that would have to do with like sin, sexual sin, even churches that affirm abortion. But in this instance, I'm not entirely sure because I'm not a prophet, nor do I play one on radio. But I think you're going to hear the expressive individualistic self-ideology in full bloom. What is the expressive individualistic self? It is the term that was coined in the 1970s by a sociologist, I believe, to describe the me decade, the 70s. It's about me. Because remember, how can love be so wrong when it feels so right? When you're torn between two lovers, feeling like a fool, loving both of you is breaking all the rules. It is the me decade. And this sociologist rightly called it expressive individualism, a philosophy that had been on the march for a couple hundred years. The romantics, your feelings are what is paramount. Nothing is more important. So your insides, they got to be expressed on the outsides, and ain't nobody going to tell you that what's going on in there that you're expressing out there is wrong. In other words, you don't conform to society. Society conforms to you. That's been going on through postmodernism. It has been going on since really the 60s and 70s. The free love generation, casting off any restraints so you can express your authentic self. And now that movement is in full bloom. And I think you're going to hear it. I think it's pretty certain you're going to hear it expressed by this Methodist pastor as he does a treatise on divorce. I don't want to do this. I'll be really honest with you. I just don't.
And if your marriage is something that is keeping you from being your most authentic and whole self.
Sorry, Oprah Winfrey called. Oprah's another proponent. Your authentic self.
And I don't think God would mind if you end up breaking that covenant.
Oh, in other words, you can get divorced if you are being kept from being your authentic self. Wa and la, that is expressive individualism inside of the Methodist Church. It is as simple as that. This isn't Christianity. This is not with any semblance of sola scriptura, the Bible being the supreme authority. No, who reigns? You do. How you feel, your intuitions, your desires, your emotions, your wants, what is inside of you. We'll just call them feelings. And they're nothing more than feelings. That too is from the 70s. Hey, no wonder why it was called the me generation. Your feelings, they lead. Nothing can get in the way of you and your feelings, including a covenant that you made with another individual till death do you part.
Many of you in the room have been divorced. Many of you have children who are divorced. Statistically speaking, half of y'all who have been married or are married have been divorced before.
I can just feel what's coming. Hey, it's so prevalent. How can we let that book called I'm sure he struggles with the name of it, the Bible, hold you down? There's just too much of it. Are we really going to tell all of these people they're wrong? No, according to this Methodist preacher, we're going to preach that the Bible is wrong.
So does Jesus condemn half of this church?
Well, it's a... That's good. Where's Jason Lyle when you need him? That's some sort of fallacy in logic. Does Jesus condemn everybody who's been divorced? Do you mean, is everybody who's been divorced going to hell? No, that's a sleight of hand trick. It's to conflate two ideas. Really? Could you? So therefore, our premise must be wrong. Does Jesus condemn unbiblical divorce? There's no question he does. God, last time I checked, hates divorce. When you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 24, you see already that God is not a big fan of divorce. Jewish people, they were getting divorced, nearly just given a certificate of paper. Here, I divorce you, it's all done. And God actually gave rules. It's about verses 1-4, somewhere in that neighborhood of Deuteronomy 24. God gave rules for what reason? To protect women. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount made it clear, hey, this whole I divorce thee business, you have too low of a standard for divorce. Does God permit it because of the hardness of our heart? Yes, he does. But does he desire that? No, he doesn't. Does he want it to be for any reason, including I'm not happy, I'm not able to express my authentic self? She makes me feel kind of sad sometimes. Jesus is saying it's got to be something extraordinary. It's got to be something like committing adultery. It's got to be something bigger than just, I'm kind of sick. She burned my food, which was, by the way, according to the Jewish Talmud, a reason that a man could divorce his woman. Bad cooking. Jesus said no. Jesus talked about it again in Matthew 19. Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians 7. God is not a fan of divorce. Does he allow divorce? Yes, he does. With certain rules being applied, like marital unfaithfulness. Death is another one. Somebody runs away. They're not actually there. Now, we can get into emotional abuse. We can get into pornography another day. The point is, God, when it comes to divorce, has a very high bar. This dude, because he's not a Methodist preacher, he's going to tell us that if it just makes you feel unhappy, that's reason enough. And Jesus wouldn't possibly condemn you. If you got an unbiblical divorce, Jesus would say you've sinned. Can you be forgiven of that sin? Of course you can be. Now, this dude, whatever the logical fallacy is, he's employing it, but he's absolutely misleading and deceiving people. Jesus does not affirm unbiblical divorce. And I think we've got 2,000 years of church history to support that.
Does Jesus condemn my parents?
Can't have that. If Jesus is going to condemn my parents, that's some sort of fallacy. Then divorce can't be a bad thing, except for the fact that the Bible says it's a terrible thing. And it is only permitted under very specific circumstances.
The church taught for centuries that divorce is
yes,
wrong.
That's right.
Even sinful.
So this guy's going to come along. All those idiots have been wrong calling it sinful.
Some traditions still hold fast to this teaching that we heard from Mark's gospel story today, that whoever marries after a divorce commits adultery.
The reason that we hold to that is because the Bible says so. When are these progressive liberals going to concoct their own religion? You just take the name of Jesus out of it. Don't use any religious words that are Christian, like church or pastor. Just do your own thing. If you want to quote Jesus with Gandhi, do your own thing. You have every legal right to do that, but stop masquerading as a Christian.
I imagine Jesus would be more concerned with the number of women who have been forced or felt forced to stay in an unhappy, dysfunctional, or abusive marriage because that's what their church leaders told them to do.
Okay, hold on. This is another sleight of hands. Unhappy, disgruntled, abusive. They're not the same thing. But he puts them into a laundry list. You hear the one word and go, wow, there's no way that that could possibly be. So therefore, none of those words are good. This is expressive individualism. It's made its way into the church. This guy puts the Bible at the feet of feelings.
Over and over again, we see Jesus calling for a more just world.
Oh, dude, when Jesus judges the world, you know, for the sake of justice, oh.
A more loving world where all are able to thrive.
Okay, if you're not thriving in your marriage, then that's bad, and Jesus wouldn't want that, except for the fact that Jesus never said that.
And sometimes that can't happen in a marriage despite our best efforts.
The old trope, we tried really hard. And this is, by the way, this is not to judge all divorces. There are some biblical divorces, but what this fellow is describing is to expand God's permissive attitude toward divorce and make it nilly-willy and make it predicated on nothing but your feelings. Has the world made its way into the church? Yeah, this is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. But what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's frustrating? Reading about the Holy Spirit and still not really understanding how He works in your life. I mean, you want to understand, right? But it just feels so unclear. Fortis Institute fellow Dr. John Crott's going to be coming to the Wretched Studios on Saturday, August 30th. He's going to be doing 6 sessions on the Holy Spirit. Absolutely free, but space is limited. So go to fortisinstitute.org/Holy Spirit right now as quick as possible and get signed up. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Giffert, a Fortis Institute fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, the truth about mental health, available right now for free at FortisPlus.org. That's FortisPlus.org. The Fortis store is closing permanently, and we literally mean everything must go, because after this month, there won't be a store. Presently, you're going to notice that we've slashed prices up to 75% off all physical inventory. Thanks to our incredible gospel partners, we're going to be making all of our digital resources completely free on Fortis Plus. But first, help us empty our shelves. You've got through the end of this month. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now. Trust me, your future self is going to be grateful you didn't miss out. FortisInstitute.org.
Know your reformers. Martin Luther was a German monk and professor who was plagued with doubt about his salvation. When he finally read the Bible for himself, he rediscovered the doctrine of justification by grace through faith. His bold witness for biblical truth was the spark that ignited the Protestant Reformation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Did you catch what that there feller just did?
Over and over again, we see Jesus calling for a more just world, a more loving world where all are able to thrive.
Clever. Biblical? No. Clever? Yes. What did that Methodist preacher who's telling the world you can get divorced for pretty much any reason you want to? Why? Because Jesus was all about love. Jesus was all about justice. It is always helpful to replace one sin with another. Now, please note this is necessary because there are genuine believers who have had biblical divorces, and this is not intended to critique or condemn you in any way, shape, or form. This is to address this guy's comments. When we replace the sin of unbiblical divorce with another sin, see if this guy's commentary it seems correct in any way, shape, or form. Rape, molesting children. You know, Jesus, he just wanted a more loving society. And if it's rape that makes you happy, then that's what you need to do. You'd go, hold it, dude. What are you talking about here? And the answer is what he's talking about is not making a biblical argument. Instead, he's making a worldly argument to justify divorce. It sounds specifically like his parents' divorce. Isn't that often the case? An individual can have a position on a subject, a sin issue, but then somebody they love commits that sin and suddenly they have to rethink the issue. I've seen that done with pastors before who would have said, divorce? No, I'm sorry. For sexual immorality, for pornia, abandonment, or death. And then their spouse leaves them and they've had a chance to rethink the whole divorce thing. And suddenly, I think that there might be some exceptions to the rule. We've seen this with sexuality. An individual who is clear, one man, one woman, suddenly has a child who is wanting to color outside of those biblical lines, and they take the time to restudy the issue and rethink the issue. Wah and la, they conclude, I've had it wrong. Why? Because of a loved one. The emotive connection to another human being causes them to compromise scripture, pretty much like this dude is doing.
And sometimes that can't happen in a marriage despite our best efforts.
So if you tried really, really hard, not happy, don't worry. Jesus is okay with that.
Those of us who are married, we owe it to our spouses to do our best.
Okay. All right. Sorry. I'm getting a word. Here it is. There's a conjunction coming very, very soon.
To work hard to uphold the promises that we've made to one another, to walk through the heavy stuff, including when we fail, because we all fail. To uphold those promises to one another, to accept the changes to one another over time, to get professional help when needed, to fight for our love.
Hold on a second. To keep your vows. Wait, I'm certain there's a conjunction coming.
But we do not owe it to ourselves or our partners to stay in marriages that just aren't going to work.
No, that just make you unhappy. But where did that conjunction come out of the Bible? The answer is it didn't.
That become abusive.
Okay,
hold on. Have no chance of survival.
Two different. Okay, every marriage has a chance of survival. But to hitch the abusive concept to it, to undermine what marriage is supposed to be, it's agitating when people try to make a point poorly. If you're going to come up with your permissive divorce position, sir, study a little harder, do better.
God calls us to live whole lives. And if your marriage is something that is keeping you from being your most authentic and whole self, then I don't think God would mind if you end up breaking that covenant.
Oh, I think actually he would. Why? Because he hates divorce. And there's another issue that this fellow would never discuss. And it really is, I think, the biggest reason that God hates divorce. First of all, he hates it because clearly sin has been involved. If both people were sinless, there would be no divorce. So sin is involved on some level with divorce. And so God isn't nuts about sin. There's an understatement. Furthermore, When the scarring that happens when two people who had become one flesh are now two fleshes, that's wounding. What about the kids that get hurt in a divorce? I don't care how many times the sociologists tell us, oh, the kids, they're tough. They recover from this stuff. They can handle these knocks. Actually, no, they can't. It's genuinely traumatic, and it wounds a child to some degree for life. Therefore, God hates divorce. But I think the preeminent reason is theological. What is marriage? What is this covenant intended to convey? There are so many reasons for marriage. All of them are good. You got yourself procreation. You get to make babies. The procreative act, that's pleasurable. I'm going to alliterate this for my Southern Baptist friends. So you got procreation, you got pleasure, you've got partnership. I am on a Southern Baptist roll. That would two become one. And there's something that is so glorious about two people sharing a life together, having company all the time. That's the purpose for marriage. It's for, oh, this isn't good, political reasons. It helps society. There's got to be a P word somewhere. It's as good for a nation. Even when marriage is not Christian, it is still a stabilizing factor in society. But ultimately, marriage is I'm back on track here. It is a picture. It's a picture of Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. This is what Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 5, that it's a picture of something glorious, that the man plays the role of Jesus, the woman plays the role of the church. They come together, united, living joyfully together. Does Jesus ever abandon his bride? Does Jesus ever divorce his church? Isn't it clear that when you are in Christ, you are eternally secure, that there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, not height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. Nothing can separate. Jesus doesn't divorce his children. So when we playing our roles get divorced, what do we say to the world? We're supposed to be speaking a good word. When the husband plays his role well, when the wife plays her role well, the world should look at it and go, oh, I get it. That's the gospel. That's how Jesus treats the church. That's how the church loves Jesus Christ. It's a picture of the gospel. When a couple breaks it unbiblically, what is the conclusion of the world? Oh, Jesus isn't faithful to his bride. That is why divorce is hated in the eyes of God. It corrupts the gospel. It undermines the eternal nature of being saved forever. And God hates it. And this Methodist pastor who's pretending to be a preacher, who's expanding the permissibility of divorce based on the worldview of expressive individualism, he's got himself some splaining to do. God will not be pleased with this preaching. Colossians 2:4, anyone? Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I'm absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted, built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Here it comes, verse 6. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. It happened to that dude. It can happen to us if we ever let down our guard. And let this stand as a warning to all of us. It's not just this dude. We can all be influenced by worldviews outside of the Bible. Sorry to sound curmudgeonly, which actually it is my spiritual gift, but social media, it's constantly telling you, you. And now it infected this guy, but it'll infect the rest of us too. That's why so much preaching, I hear all these big crusades where they get up and they're trying to win people to Jesus. And what's it all about? You, worldviews, they can make their way into the church, even good ones. And that is why we need to always be on guard. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.